Judy. Judy.
Yes, and come on.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm gonna mute.
We will begin by counting the Omer. Yesterday we counted the 11th day of the Omer. And we will start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu. Urchimu udhilu le'achda l'shem yudhe bavadhe. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Hine anachnu bayem l'kayem mitzvat sefirat ha'omer. La'asot nachat ruach li'otzreinu v'la'asot ratzon borenu. V'ayhino amadunai Eloheinu. Aleinu ma'asei adenu kanunei aleinu ma'asei adenu kanuneihu. Now we will connect to the verses that prepare our consciousness. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Imor Beadi Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Chazdecha le'olam ma'aseh yadecha el teref ekra Elohim elyon la'el gomer alay v'ya'avor alayich v'yarech mitboseset Bedamayich vayomar lecha bedamayich chaye. Viamar lecha bedamayich chaye. Barki nafshi et Adonai. Yo he wahe Adanu yo. Yo ahe dawanu heyo, Elohim Elohe gadalta meod, hod v'hadar levashet, levashta. O teor keshama no teshamayim kiriya. Now for the blessing, step three. Baruch atah Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Yud Hey Wav Hey Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sefirat ha'omer. Hayom shenayim eser yom la'omer shehem shavua echad v'chamisha yamim. Today is day 12 of the Omer, which is 1 week and 5 days. The number 12 connects to the 12 tribes of Israel. The number 12 connects to the number of permutations of the name of Hashem. number 12 connects to the 12 months of the year. Harachaman hu yachatzir avodat beit hamikdash limkoma b'mehera b'yameinu. And we all say amen. We'll now connect to Psalm 67, the menorah psalm. We will be stopping in two locations, one for a word and one for a letter. Lam natseach bin ginot mizmor shir. Elohim yechamenu bivarkenu. Ya'er panav itanu selah. La da'at ba'aretz darkecha b'chol goyim. Goyim is the 12th word. Goyim means peoples or nations. In what way do you separate yourself from other people? How can you bring yourself closer to these people that you've been separating from? Especially now that we are keeping separation to prevent the spread of the disease. How can you bring yourself closer to people spiritually or on different levels when you can't do so physically? Reaching out virtually is one way. Yeshuatecha Yoducha Mim Elohim Yoducha Mim Kulam. Yismechu Viranenu Le'umim. The letter Lamed. Is the 12th letter. The letter Lamed is also a word that means teacher. In what way can you teach or be taught spirituality to other people? Or can you be taught by other people? Do you respect your teachers? Do you learn from everyone? All people in your life are only those that teach you what you want to hear. Le'umim ki tishpot damim mishor ulumim va'aretz panhem selah. Yoducha mim Elohim, yoducha mim kulam. Eretz natna yivula yivarkenu. Elohim Eloheinu. Yivarkenu Elohim v'yiru oto kol afsei aretz. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoach gedulat shemimcha tatir serura. Aleph bet gimel yutach sadi. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu. Tacharenu Nora. The letter Nun is the 12th letter in the Anabakoah. The letter Nun connects to the energy of falling. That's why King David did not provide a verse in the Yoshei Ashrei, Ashrei Yoshei prayer. I forget the verse number, the psalm number. But it's a clear indication that the letter Nun represents falling. But we can use it as a vaccine against falling. It's all a function of consciousness. What are you willing to see? No ra kufre shayan sintet nun. Na gibor dorshe yechud ha yevavat shamreim. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barchem tachareim rachamei sidkat ha. Tamid Gamlein Betet Resh Tzaditav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geah Lamcha penei zokre kedushatach. Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodeya talumot. Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yotav. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper, Baruch Shem Kivod. The eighth step of the counting is to look at the 12th journey in the desert. The 12th journey is leaving Rephidim and camping in the Sinai Desert. We each have our Sinai moment in our lives, a place where we arrive and wake up to a new awareness. A heightened state of consciousness. When we feel God's presence, one result of this revelation is harmony. It unites people as one person with one heart. Such was the experience that took place when the people arrived at Mount Sinai on the first day of Sivan, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The excursion through the wilderness represents life's journeys through the harsh wilderness of selfish existence, with the objective of subduing and sublimating these forces of selfishness. And by changing ourselves to be more sharing, we transform the world into a divine environment. It's good to note that this is the last of the 12 journeys that were not led by the Holy Ark. Tomorrow night, we will be led by the Holy Ark. And that is a distinction that is worthy to note and to be aware of. Ribono shel olam, ata tevitanu al yedei Moshe, avdecha lispor sefirata omer, kedei letacharenu miklipotenu tumatenu, kimo shekatavta betorata uspartem lahem. Mimachara Shabbat miyom haviyachem et omer ha tenufa sheva shabbatot temimot teyina mimacharat ha shabbat ha shivit ha tesefiru chamishim yom kidei sheitacharu dachshot amcha Yisrael Mizo ha-matam, uvechen yirhi ratzon milfanecha, Adonayo hewahe, adanuyo, yoahe dawanu heyo, Eloheinu, Elohe avotenu, shebizchut sefirata omer, Shesafarti hayom, yitukan ma shivagamti v'sefirah. Od shivagivurah. Od shivagivurah translates as the splendor of judgment. Hod has the following attributes: glory, humility, gratitude, acceptance, and splendor. Hod is connected to the priesthood. Hod opens to receive from the divine and shapes what it receives with gratitude, with openness, and with humility. V'et aher v'et kadesh b'kdusha shel ma'ala, amen selah. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 27th day of Nisan, Rabbi Yeshayahu Asher Zelig Margulis, Rabbi Shalom Moshe Ungar, Rabbi Moshe ben Rabbi Yaakov Halberstam, Rabbi Yehuda Kahana, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Greenwald, Rabbi Shalom Moshe Ungar, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, prophet that is associated with Hod Shivagivurah is Natan HaNavi, Nathan the prophet. Nathan was a Navi, was a prophet in the time of David HaMelech. And Nathan was the prophet that gave King David rebuke in the incident with Bathsheba. Hod Shiva Gevurah has an external gematria, a regular gematria of 533. And the number 533 is the same gematria as the Hebrew phrase, to be comforted. In what ways do you allow yourself to be comforted by the concept of being thankful, which is one of the elements of Hod, Hod Shiva Gevurah? Is that a comforting Sephirot? How do we reconcile the concept of comfort with Hod Shiva Gevurah? Something to contemplate tomorrow. Our class tonight is an essay by the Ari, and it's in the Parasha of Metzora. You'll find the handout in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. When you open up that landing place, scroll down to Parasha Metzora, and you'll find a link there titled A Share of the Spoils, or Vows and Oaths. That will be our class tonight. Does anyone have a question before we begin? We'll start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu L'yachta L'shem Yudhei Bavavhei V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Koranei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Koraneihu. It takes different kinds of strength to distribute recaptured holiness. In the portion of the Torah read this week, God tells the children of Israel to battle the Midianites in vengeance for their assault, chronicled at the end of Parasha Balak. The children of Israel slew all the males in battle, and Moses instructed them further to slay all the male children and the females who had reached sexual maturity. And God then told Moses, count the booty that was captured, man and beast, and divide the booty equally between those who took the war upon themselves and went out to do battle and the rest of the community. Half of the spoils went to the men at war, and the other half went to the total of the community. You shall then take a levy for Hashem from the half share of the soldiers who engaged in the campaign. You shall take one item in 500 of people, of oxen, of donkeys, and of sheep, and give them to Eleazar the priest as a contribution to Hashem. In addition, from the half share of the other Israelites, you shall take one portion of every 50 of the people, of the cattle, of the donkeys, and the sheep, all the animals, and give them to the Levites who attend to the duties of Hashem's tabernacle. We must ask and answer the following questions on this passage from the Torah. Since God said divide the booty equally, Why did he then say, from the half share of the soldiers, who shall take and give them to Eleazar, when it would have been clear enough just to say, from the warriors, you shall take and give them to Eleazar, without mentioning again that their portion was a half share? The next question, in the first case, that of the half share of the soldiers, it is written one item in 500, while in the second case, that of the civilians, it is written one portion of every 50. Why the difference in expression? Why the difference in amount? The third question, why in fact did Hashem give Eleazar one in 500, 0.2%, and the Levites one in 50, 2%? Four, why in describing the half share of the civilians is the expression all the animals added? Why is the expression Levite, in Hebrew the word is mechet, used one only in describing the half share of the soldiers? The exoteric answer to these questions is those who counted the half share of the soldiers were not required to do so precisely. As we will see, the expression precisely here does not mean that an exact count was not taken of the soldiers' portion. It simply means that their contribution was taken from the overall total of their half share, rather than separated out as the counting was being done. They simply rounded off how many thousands of cattle there were after the counting had been done, and calculated the levy accordingly. This is why the expression levy is used only with regard to the soldiers' half. The term levy in Hebrew, mechet, is appropriate for a portion taken from an overall sum. This was done, as we will see, only with the soldiers' half share, and not with that of the civilians. This is also why it is written from the half share of the soldiers. This expression implies that the levy is to be taken from the general sum of the half share, rounded off. In the case of the civilians' half share, however, they had to count every item in detail, one by one. And as they counted, every 50th item became the contribution to the Levites. In other words, this was done similar to the way the tithes in general were required to be given to the Levites. As it is written, as to the tithe of the herd or the flock of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth will be holy unto Hashem. This is why the expression, one portion of every 50, is used. This is an unwritten commentary, but I'm asking the question, why were the soldiers given in a different manner than the population? And what does it mean that when they passed 50 animals under the rod, and that 50th one became holy to Hashem, that process of elevation called holiness took place for that specific animal? But when it came to the soldiers, they just gave them the total herd and let the soldiers decide how to divide it, if they divided it at all, or maybe they raised them together. Why do you think the difference was made? Continuing to read. These two letters, hey, are expressions of judgment and severity. The Hebrew word for portion, achuz, literally means that which is grabbed, evoking the image of the one counting via physically setting aside every 50th animal as they were passed in front of him to be counted. Thus, the contributions were taken from the respective half shares of the soldiers and the civilians in totally different ways. The half share of the soldiers' work was counted. The sum was rounded off to the nearest thousand, and then the proper number of girls or animals was separated accordingly. In contrast, every 50th girl or animal was separated from the half share of the civilians as it was being counted. This difference accounts for the difference of expression used in the mitzvot regarding the two half shares. Still, we have only answered questions 1, 2, and 5. Questions 3 and 4 we still have left to answer. I have a written commentary. Let me express my continuing amazement and awe at how Hashem uses differences in similar descriptions of the written Torah to teach about spiritual laws. Big picture personalities like the sun sign Sagittarius people must make extra effort to see these differences when studying the Torah, because we don't really see the details normally. The esoteric explanation of the above, however, is the same as the mystical explanation of our sage's statement that walking with wide steps diminishes a man's eyesight by 1/500th. This statement of our sages can be understood based on what is written in the Zohar regarding how Malchut extends her steps outward, as we have explained on this passage. This refers to when the Nukva of Zeranpin and Zeranpin were together in the womb of their mother. Both Zeranpin and its Nukva are children of Abba and Ima, and here it is evident that they are in a sense twins, in that Ima was pregnant with both of them at the same time. This phrase in their development is alluded to in the first hey of the name Havaya, which, as we know, corresponds to the Sefirah of Bina, or its partsuf, Ima. The hay may be viewed as composed of a dalad, the top and right leg, and a small vav, the left detached leg. Since the numerical value of the vav is 6, this small vav may be taken as a hint to the 6 sefirot from Chesed to Yesod, or Zeranpin, as they exist in utero within Ima. However, the Zohar tells us at a certain point, this Vav grows, a projection at its lower extremity that extends outward. The Hay thus takes on the appearance somewhat of the letter Tav, except that the left leg is, of course, still detached from the top and the right leg. This projection outward is the source of Malchut, the Nukva within the womb of Ima. This projection at the root foot of the Vav is considered an outward step. There are, however, two instances of this phenomena. The first is when the nukva is born and emerges out of the womb of Ima, the first hay of the name Havaya. The second is when the nukva goes out of the world of Atzilut at the lower extremity of the small vav within the second hay of the name Havaya. The name Havaya depicts, as we have explained previously, the entire array of Partsufim in the world of Atzilut. But as we know, Malchut, or its Partsuf, Nukva, descends out of the world of Atzilut in order to create and then rectify the lower worlds. This aspect of Malchut is represented graphically as the projection out of the left leg, the small vav of the second hay. These two letters hay from one yud, or these two letters hay form one yud, inasmuch as they both originate from Abba, the yud of the name Havaya. The numerical value of hay is 5, so the hay of Bina plus the hay of Malchut equals 10, the numerical value of the letter Yud. The two letters hay of the name Havaya may thus be seen as lower manifestations of the Yud. Bina can be considered to be a byproduct of Hakma, in that the subject matter of understanding is the insight, or the initial insight, of Hakma. Malchut is considered a product of Chachma, in that expression is implicit in the insight. In contrast, the Midot, out of which are formed the Partsuf of Zerantin, represented by the Vav in the name Havaya, are more directly a result of Bina rather than a manifestation of Chachma. The emotional response is elicited only when the full intellectual development of the idea in Bina has occurred. My commentary. The above paragraph is an excellent commentary. I recommend that you spend some time learning this commentary in depth. Since they are both expressions of judgment and severity, they are called the booty that is captured. As we have explained previously, Bina is primarily a process of evaluating, judging, accepting, and/or rejecting. The person's previous way of thinking has to be evaluated in light of the new insight. And those aspects of his previous way of thinking that do not fit in with this new, higher perception of the truth have to be rejected, often painfully and ruthlessly. Since they are divided into two letters, they were commanded to divide the booty into two. This is an explanation for why the soldiers received one half and the civilians the other half. Continuing to read. Similarly, Malchut is, as we have discussed previously, constructed out of the Geburah aspects of the Sephirah that precede it. This is because in order to express an idea through thought, speech, or action, there must be a large amount of censoring and selecting. This is true in both directions, the infinite idea and its infinite implications, its infinite applications, and its infinite ramifications cannot all be expressed, since expression, manifestation, is finite. In addition, in order to express the idea properly, the proper words or actions, for example, the colors on a canvas or the notes in music, must be carefully selected. The improper choice of words, etc., can vastly distort the meaning. Therefore, the person must be very selective at this point. Thus, in the context both of Bina and Malchut, the mental structures and thought, speech, and action patterns chosen are called the booty of the war, in which all unworthy pretenders to the role of vehicles of intellect or expression are eliminated. And since they are divided into two letters, hey, they were commanded to divide the booty into two, half for the upper, the first hay, and half for the lower, the second hay. Now it is known that the kings of Edom emerged from the upper hay, from Ema, which is termed the land of Edom, as is known. These kings, who are called the soldiers, died because of the extreme amount of Gevura and war in them, as is known. The Arizal is here referring to the world of Tohu. As we have explained previously, this world collapsed because the Sephirot that composed it were immature and could not properly interact. They were effectively at war with each other. This realm of creation is called Edom, and its Sephirot are called the kings of Edom, since Edom is the kingdom of Esav, the perpetually immature wild twin of the nature of the mature and holy Jacob. Although we usually conceive of the four letters of the name Havaya as signifying the total array of Partsufim of the world of Atzilut, in other contexts these letters are conceived of as depicting a much broader span of creation. As we have mentioned on an earlier occasion, the four ways that the name Havaya can be spelled out yields the four numerical values of 72, 63, 45, and 52. May themselves be aligned with the four letters of the name. The 72 connects to the Yud, 63 to the upper He, 45 to Zeranpin, and 52 to the lower hay. I am adding a commentary. Below is a description of the letters of Hashem's name related to the Sephirot, as well as the gematria of the spelled out name. Yud connects to Hakma, which is 72. The He connects to Bina. The upper He connects to Bina, which is 63. The Vav, which are the character traits, connects to 45. And the lower He to Malchut, which is 52. And I'm sure you've noticed the pattern of the numbers goes lower, lower, and then higher. That is something that you need to contemplate to receive the answer. In this scheme, each spelling of the name Havaya produces a corresponding stage of creation. The spelling, whose numerical value is 72, produces the level that precedes the world of Tohu. That whose numerical value is 63 produces the world of Tohu. That whose numerical value is 45 produces the masculine aspect of the world of Tikkun, or the world of Atzilut. And that whose numerical value is 52 produces the feminine aspect of the world of Tikkun, or the world of Atzilut. It is to this scheme that the Arizal refers when he says here that the kings of Edom issued from the upper He. We also learned, this is an unwritten comment, but we also learned from the four phases that Zeranpin is a creation of Bina, not of the Keter. In contrast, the other aspects of judgment and severity, which issued from the lower He, are called the community. They inform the lower court, and they are more fragrant than sweetened. It is known that the lower court is called the community. As it is written, God stands in the community of Hashem. I am adding, to help clarify the translation, is actually Elohim stands in the community of Elohim. Elohim is the name of Hashem dealing with judgment. Elohim can also be a group of angelic leaders. The community is a code word for Malchut. The Gevura of Bina is much more severe than that of Malchut. In simple terms, this is because it is much more crucial to be selective and critical at the conceptual stage of the creative process than it is at the expressive state. An error at the conceptual stage will have severe repercussions all down the chain of development. In contrast, if the conceptual stage was passed properly, a lot more latitude can be given to the final means of expression, since the conceptual integrity of the process has been so zealously guarded. The strength and intensity of the concept will be able to shine through a much wider range of expression. Thus, the upper judicial court of Bina must be much stricter than the lower court of Malchut. The verse quoted from Psalms refers to the rabbinical court. We are taught that God's presence is found guiding the judgments and giving his approval to the decisions of the judges. The name used for the first God in this verse is Elohim, the attribute of divine justice. The community of God refers to the court. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, "You shall divide the booty equally between those who took the war upon them and went out to do battle and the rest of the community." The two letters He of the name Havaya split between them the booty they snatched from the Yud. The first He is indicated in this verse by the soldiers, and the second by the civilians. Now, there are always only five states of Gevura, from Chesed to Hod, as is known. These five states of Gevura pour into Yesod, which is therefore termed All, in Hebrew Kol. Their numerical value is 50, since when they are there below in Yesod, each subdivides into 10. The sub-Sefirot of Givurah of the five Sefirot of Chesed, which is Chesed, Givurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod, descend into Yesod, and from there are passed to Malchut. This being how the Partsuf of Nukva is constructed. In the verses, to you, O God, is the greatness and the power, which is Givurah, and the beauty, which is Tiferet, and the eternity, Netzach, and the glory, Hod. For all, and the Hebrew word is kol, that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O God, is the kingship in the Hebrew mamlacha, from the word malchut. The word all, kol, signifies yesod. This is because, as we said, yesod binds the flow of the preceding five sefirot. In our case, the sub-sefirot of Givurah within them. The numerical value of this word, spelled kuf lamed, is 50. This alludes to the subdivision of these five states of Givurah, each into a full array of 10 sefirot. In contrast, when these states of Givurah are above, in Ema, the upper hay, each subdivides into 100, giving a total of 5 times 10 times 10, or 500. Their consciousness is nonetheless far more expansive than it will be when they are born. Although while in utero within Ema, the partsufim of Zeran, Pin, and Nukva are not fully developed, their consciousness is nonetheless far more expansive than it will be when they are born and emerged from the womb. This is because Ema is the abstract intellect, while Zeran, Pin, and Nukva are merely the emotional reactions and expression of this intellect. Thus, the sub-sefirot of the sub-sefirot, which will form Zeran Pin, Chesed to Yesod, exist in the womb of Ema in a higher level of differentiation and complexity, indicating their superior intensity of intellect there. Each sub-sefirot divides into 10 sub-sub-sefirot, and then these 10 further subdivide into 100 sub-sub-sub-sefirot. This is why the portion taken from the soldiers is 1/500th. And that taken from the civilians is 1/50th. The soldiers personify the states of Givurah within the womb of Bina, while the civilians personify the states of Givurah within Yesod, on their way to Malchut. We have now answered question number 3 above. Now, Malchut is referred to as the wide step, as we mentioned. Malchut is the projection at the lower end of the small vav, which indicates Zeran Pin of the hay. Since this projection extends outward, it is called the wide step, outward from the hay. This wide step diminishes man's eyesight by 1/500th. Man refers to Zeran Pin. He is considered the husband of Malchut, for she receives her light and beneficence from the above-mentioned soldiers, from him and through him. This occurs when they are both above within the womb of Ema. As we said, the five states of Givurah and the sefirot of Zeran Pin, as it exists in utero within Ema, each undergo 2 tenfold iterations, giving 5 times 10 times 10, or 500 substates. Thus, their unpin at this stage may be said to possess 500 parts of life force, or eyesight. Malhut at this stage receives one portion of these 500, and may thus be said to reduce their unpin's life force, or eyesight, by 1/500. At this stage, Malhut is called Nefesh, based on what we have explained elsewhere. That which, while she is there, she possesses only the name Havaya, spelled out with the letter He, which is called Nefesh. The numerical value of the name Havaya, spelled out with the letter He, is 52. Yud Vav Dalet, He He, Vav Vav, He He. As we saw above, this spelling out corresponds to the Sephirah of Malkut. Now, the four letters of God's name, Havaya, also correspond to the five levels of the soul. The tip of the Yud is the Keter, which is Yeshida. The Yud, which is Chachma, is 72, is Chaya. The He, which is Bina, which is 63, is the Neshama. The Vav, which is the Midot, is 45, the Ruach. And the He is Malhut, is 52, is Nefesh. Thus, the name Havaya, whose numerical value is 52, is associated with the soul level of Nefesh. And this is why it is written with regard to the portion taken from the soldiers, one item in 500. The word used for them in this verse is Nefesh. We have thus answered now the question number two above. This is also why this portion is given to Eleazar the priest. As it is written, give them to Eleazar the priest as a contribution to Hashem. The priest is the personification of Chesed, which serves to develop this portion into a full-fledged contribution to Hashem, in the essence of something separated. We have explained previously that the priests express the divine attribute of loving kindness, or chesed, while the Levites express the attribute of severity, gevurah. By giving this embryonic version of Malchut to chesed, the love of Zeran Pin showers on it, causes it to grow and develop until at birth it emerges as an independent partsuf, and not just an appendage sticking out of the lower extremity of Zeran Pin. This process is obviously reenacted in the way Eve is created out of Adam in the Garden of Eden. The word used in this verse for contribution is truma, which literally means a portion lifted up and out of the mass from which it is taken. Thus, giving the 1/500th to Eleazar signifies the making of Malchut into an independent entity of Zeran Pin. In contrast, at the later stage of her development, when Malchut is depicted as the wide step protruding from the lower hay, she does not take anything from the soldiers, the states of Giburah within the womb of Ima. She takes only from her husband, Zeran Pin, who is called Israel, as in the mystical meaning of the verse, before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. Once Malhut has emerged and is developing as a partsuf in her own right, her development does not depend on any influx from her in utero. in her utero origins with Enema. Both she and Zerantin have severed themselves from the world of intellect and are now developing their own severed their own personalities as emotions and expression, respectively. At this stage of Malhut, in the process of becoming the fully developed Nukva of Zerantin, is developed out of Zerantin the emotions. The verse quoted here refers to the account of the primordial kings of Edom, of Tohu. This world existed prior to the maturation stage of the Partsufim. The Partsufim of Zerantin are called Israel. She therefore takes only 1/50th, since she receives her influx from Yesod of Zerantin, which is alluded to by the word all, in Hebrew, kol, whose numerical value is 50. It is written, therefore, one portion, for she clings to and depends upon, at this point, the lower extremity of the letter Vav, Yesod of Zerantin. This is in contrast to the stage in utero described above. When Malchut is receiving her life force from the soldiers, this is the continuation of the mystical answer to question 2 above. As above, the word for portion here is ahuz, literally means that which is grabbed. Evoke the image of Malchut hanging on the Yesod of Zerantin in order to receive all the influx necessary for her growth and development. This is why the portion taken from the civilians is given to the Levites. They are the legions of the Malchut, the supernal choristers, as is known. When the priests perform their duties in the temple silently, the Levites compose the orchestra and the choir. They thus express the emotions that accompanied the sacrificial service. As such, they were obviously instruments of Malchut, the Sephirah of expression. Let us now complete the explanation of the sages regarding how walking with wide steps diminishes a person's eyesight by 1/500. They go on to say that this lacking is restored when he makes kiddush on Shabbat evening. The mystical explanation of this is as follows. On Friday, Zerantin was producing demons, spirits, and succubi, as is known. But when the day was sanctified and it became Shabbat evening, he ceased producing forces of evil and coupled with Malchut. It was then that his eyesight returned to him. We are taught that the forces of evil, the demons, etc., were created in the last moments on Friday, just before Shabbat. In other words, they were created from the final lowest and weakest energies of creation, after God's creative power had been spent, so to speak. In creating the holiness of the world, it is for this reason we are instructed to begin Shabbat every week early, or in this way, we shut off the sources. The source of the power of evil before it has a chance to propagate. Adam did not copulate on Friday with Eve at all, but with Lilith, LL, a precursor of his true wife. (Clears throat) Adam and Eve were created on Friday. The usual explanation of the primordial sin is that Adam and Eve engaged in sexual relations before they were intended to. That is, they copulated on Friday afternoon instead of waiting for the holy day of Shabbat. By engaging in marital relations outside of the context of holiness, they profaned them. They approached them from the perspective of personal gratification, and thus actualized the world's latent potential of egocentricity and evil. However, in certain sources, it is said that Adam did not copulate on Friday with Eve at all, but with El-El, a precursor of his true wife. She was the personification of egocentricity, as exemplified by the fact that she insisted on being on top of Adam during their copulation. She thus introduced the element of self-awareness into the sublime experience of marital relations. And the offering of their union was the various forces of evil that spread throughout the creation. On Shabbat, Adam engaged in marital relations with his true wife, Eve. Adam is the earthly personification of Zeranpin, and Eve the personification of the Nukva of Zeranpin. So this whole episode reflects the spiritual process of creation. As we said on Friday, Zeranpin will produce forces of evil unless we begin Shabbat earlier than the moment it technically begins in order to cut off these forces. Shabbat itself, especially the holy union of husband and wife, reflecting the union of God and Israel, Zeranpin and Malchut, also serves to cut off the source of life force of the forces of evil. By coupling with his mate, the Nukva, Zeranpin is in a sense reuniting with the 1/500th of his life force that she took from him in order to emerge as an independent partsuf from the womb of Ima. Thus, by sanctifying Shabbat, his eyesight is restored. It could also be that the Arizal is here hinting to the statement of our sages that improper issue of semen, other than to one's wife, and then only when she is permitted to him, diminishes a person's eyesight. Focusing on women other than one's wife is a misuse of the power of sight and misusing one of one's God's given powers weakens them. By focusing one's love and sexuality intensely on one's spouse, which as we said is the essence of Shabbat, the reunion of the divine and earthly couple, one rectifies his power of eyesight, and its power is restored. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow we will have three classes at 11 o'clock West Coast time. We will have a class in studying the Book of Prophets at 4:30. We will have a Deep Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock. There is a particular Ari essay that we need to study as it relates to the Omer. I bid you all to have a beautiful evening. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol. Good night.
Good night.
Shalom Gadol. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Shalom.